Wuthering Heights. Wuthering Heights is the name of Mr. Heathcliff's dwelling. Wuthering being a significant provincial adjective, descriptive of the atmospheric tumult to which its station is exposed in stormy weather. One may guess the power of the north wind blowing over the edge by the excessive slant of a few stunted firs at the end of the house. Happily, the architect had foresight to build it strong. The narrow windows are deeply set in the wall, and the corners defended with large jutting stones. The window ledge above the bed where I placed my candle was covered with writing, scratched on the paint. A name, repeated in all kinds of characters, large and small. A Catherine Earnshaw. Here and there varied to Catherine Heathcliff, and then again to Catherine Lipton. In vapid listlessness, I leant my head against the window and continued spelling over Catherine Earnshaw, Heathcliff, Linton, till my eyes closed. But they had not rested 5 minutes when I was disturbed by the noise from the branch of a fir tree that touched my lattice as the wind wailed by and rattled its dry cones against the panes. I resolved to silence it if possible. I endeavored to unhasp the casement, but the hook was soldered into the staple. I must stop it, nevertheless, I muttered, knocking my knuckles through the glass and stretching an arm out to seize the branch, instead of which my fingers closed on the fingers of a little ice-cold hand. The intense horror of nightmare came over me. I tried to draw back my arm, but the hand clung to it, and a most melancholy voice sobbed, "Let me in! Let me in!" "Who are you?" I asked, struggling meanwhile to disengage myself. "Catherine Linton," it replied shiveringly. "I'm come home. I've lost my way on the moor." As it spoke, I discerned obscurely a child's face looking through the window. Terror made me cruel. And finding it useless to attempt shaking the creature off, I pulled its wrist onto the broken pane and rubbed it to and fro till the blood ran down and soaked the bedclothes. Still it wailed, "Let me in," and maintained its tenacious grip, almost maddening me with fear. "How can I?" I said at length. "Let me go if you want me to let you in." The fingers relaxed. I snatched mine through the hole and stopped my ears to exclude the lamentable prayer. I seemed to keep them closed above a quarter of an hour, yet the instant I listened again, there was the doleful cry moaning on. "Begone," I shouted. "I'll never let you in, not if you beg for 20 years.
"It is 20 years, mourned the voice. 20 years. I've been a waif for 20 years.
Thereat began a feeble scratching outside. I tried to jump up, but could not stir a limb, and so yelled aloud in a frenzy of fright. Hasty footsteps approached my chamber door. Somebody pushed it open with a vigorous hand. Heathcliff stood with a candle dripping over his fingers, and his face as white as the walls around him.